5:07 in the third quarter. Dropping. It's a blitz. Blake scrambles away from it. Rolling to his right. Looking into the end zone. Looking. Fires it into the end zone. No side. Touchdown. There's now a touchdown. That's Allen Robinson. Touchdown, Jacksonville. Bortles fires to the middle of the field. Caught by Allen Robinson. That's a first down. He hit A-Rob in the middle of the field inside the 20-yard line. Got it down to the 18-yard line. First down, Jacksonville.
Now I can say it with confidence. That one takes Allen Robinson over 1,000 yards receiving. Congratulations, A-Rob.
You know what you do when Allen Hurns is hurt? Throw it to A-Rob more.
First and goal, Jags from the 8-yard line. Shotgun for Bortles. Rolling to the right. Blake looks. Pump fake. Looks. Got away from a defender. Fires into the end zone. Diving attempt by Allen Robinson. Touchdown, Jacksonville. Bortles to A-Rob for the score.
He is an absolute monster.
Second down and goal, Jags from the 7-yard line. They trail 42-32. Dropping. Looking. It's a blitz. Throws to the middle of the field. That is caught for the touchdown. Allen Robinson, a 7-yard touchdown catch from Blake Bortles, and the Jags are battling back.
Now live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your host Mike Dempsey and Ryan O'Halloran.
Hey, welcome in everybody live in California. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Ryan O'Halloran, and yes, Tyler Devitt has made the trip out to the West Coast.
But his keys haven't.
No, his keys didn't make the trip out to the West Coast. What happened there, Devitt?
The Uber driver may have been distracted. No, I'm just kidding. No, it was an early morning. We had, a 7 a.m. flight.
We had an 8:25 flight, Ryan.
8 a.m. flight. It was early. I don't think I slept the whole night before packing, so.
It was meet at the Delta counter at 7 a.m., so he did. There was a 7 a.m.
Oh,
involved.
Okay. Well, he got that part right.
He did.
Hey, at least he didn't leave me at the baggage, you know, drop-off area.
Would that be worse?
That'd be way worse. I'd never get him back.
Is that right?
Yeah, because there's no ID on your keys.
That's true.
My Uber driver, Elton's holding on to him right now back in Jacksonville.
Elton's
for the next
man.
Week.
So I'm 1010 Hogan Road.
You know what they say about Elton? Hogan, he's very reliable to hang
Well, if you get
keys.
Home and the place has been ransacked, I think Elton is the prime suspect.
We know who to look
Good
at.
Point. Hey, guess what, Elton? He won't be home for a few days. Okay? So you take your time. It's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. Hey, every Monday, Jaguars Today is brought to you by Wild West Guns and Gold. And every Super Bowl trip every year that we've taken here on 1010XL has not been possible without the assistance, the generous assistance of our friends with St. John the Divine Greek Orthodox Church. Once again, helping us to make the trip possible, pay for travel expenses, help raise money for Wilson's Children's Hospital. We'll make a sizable donation to those folks on behalf of St. John the Divine as well for the support that they give us here. And I love Wilson's. I think I've told you I've had some personal experiences with my family members really being helped out by Wilson's, and we know they do phenomenal work there, like they do in a lot of places in Jacksonville. But we're happy to support those guys on our trip out here. And also my CPA, Kevin Green, making our travel and hotel accommodations possible as well. Guys, San Francisco, California, I'll say this. We haven't had a chance to really explore the city. There looks like there are a lot of cool little spots to eat, hole-in-the-wall type places. There are a lot of homeless people in San Francisco. Seriously.
Well, is there a Super 8 Bakersfield they can put them in for the week?
Well, I mean, isn't that what the NFL, the city of San Francisco, usually NFL cities do try to sanitize their downtown area, you know, and it's a shame. I've never seen it like it is here in San Francisco. I've been to New York plenty of times, and I've never seen a homeless situation like they have out here.
Yeah, and I left my hotel at 6:15 to walk over here. It's like 15-minute walk, like three or four. But try and get my bearings because the grid of this city is different.
It is.
You know, the street signs are optional. That's a bad move.
They just assume everyone's got GPS now. They're just as the street signs fall by the wayside, they're just not replacing them.
Yeah. So I for the first time yesterday, I had to punch in an address so I could walk to it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How about that?
Here.
Oh, well, you're here. You made it. What time did you get in yesterday?
About 1:00.
Yeah, that's about when we got in too.
Yeah.
We didn't see you.
I was on Delta through another city.
Oh, you didn't go through Atlanta?
I went through LA, but I started in Tampa.
Okay.
Because I was on the Gulf Coast for the weekend.
Interesting series of connections there.
So I went Tampa, L.A., San Francisco.
Well, good for you. We did Jacksonville, Atlanta, Atlanta to San Francisco, and I found out my knee takes about 4 hours in a highly pressurized cabin. After that, it's not very happy. And on a five-hour flight, made the last hour. As much as I love the company of Tyler Devitt in those close confines there, I don't know why I chose the window seat, by the way.
Oh, that's not good for you.
Those confines were very close, by the way.
They were kind of cozy. I think I chose the window seat, Tony, originally because I thought, oh, I'll look out at the Rocky Mountains. At 33,000 feet, you're looking out at the cloud bank that's below you. So
yeah, there was nothing.
There was not a whole lot to see.
You just got the heat blasting off that window.
What we did get to see, or we didn't actually see, but we had the chance to if we had chosen to, was Allen Robinson lighting up the Pro Bowl statistical column, 105 yards on two receptions. We get it. They're kind of funny numbers you're going to get in the Pro Bowl. I'd rather see a Jaguar player put up some funny numbers. We haven't had that in a while.
Yeah, and I happened to look up for both of his catches. And the first one was between two guys. I think Russell Wilson threw him the first one. And then the touchdown at
Teddy Bridgewater.
Teddy, yeah. So, when he made those two catches, he got a lot of praise from the coaches and players. So, I mean, one thing that Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley talked about A-Rob before he went is how much he'll benefit from that experience during the week.
Hanging out with the elite of the elite,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, other receivers, other quarterbacks. So, for the Jaguars' sake, maybe he has some company there next year.
Well, for the Jaguars' sake, the most important thing is to win some football games. However, for Allen Robinson's sake and getting back to the Pro Bowl, like this year would have been deserved to not be the first alternate. He should have been one of the first contingent in there. When you show up in your second season and you lead all Pro Bowl receivers with 105 receiving yards, make a couple of deep catches, if at all that's going to stick in people's minds, it's probably going to help him in the future. Like, hey, you know what? This guy went, and when he got there, he was pretty damn good.
Yeah, I mean, his candidacy for 2016 started last night.
It did. You're right in that regard. So let's hope that's a sign that things are going to continue in a big way. Allen Robinson's going to be here in San Francisco this week. Allen Hurns is going to be out here this week. Julius Thomas will be here. Who am I missing? Blake Bortles. How about Blake Bortles? All those guys.
I heard Scooter might be out here, too.
Well, you know what? It's his Telvin. Town, I'm sure. Yeah. I heard Telvin, then I heard on Friday, maybe not Telvin. Yeah. So I also heard at one point maybe Jonathan Cyprian, but then I heard maybe not Jonathan Cyprian. So whoever or whomever the Jaguars bring out, the nice thing is the Jaguars PR department is embedded in working the Super Bowl and helping the media. So any of the guys that make it out here, we should have no problem getting them on and talking to them and kind of recapping the season and where things go and how do you become closer to becoming a team that's on the path to being one of the final two standing.
Yeah, I mean, you watch these two teams play in the title games last week and you realize how far the Jags are from being anything.
Right.
I mean, even on the path.
Well, I mean, what stood out was the pass rush, right? On both sides. Carson Palmer harassed constantly, and Brady got hit more than any quarterback got hit in a single game this year. And, I mean, Peyton Manning, statistically, by some measures, was the worst quarterback in the league this year. And, you know, you talk about you can't win without great quarterback play. Now he's got a great quarterback mind, but they're winning because they've got that phenomenal defense.
Yeah, I mean, Manning has morphed into he still is one of the all-time greats, but he's more from NFL MVP. And I said it in today's paper. Right now, he is a game manager.
Yeah.
And that's,
he's probably the greatest game manager that's ever played at this stage.
Yeah, when you have a defense like that, the way they're playing, first time they finished first in total defense in their history, it's don't turn it over, don't turn it over, don't turn it over. That's it. And then make a couple throws on third down. And that's going to be the key. That's Denver. Denver's best chance to win is to avoid the turnover hiccups because that's what Carolina thrives on.
All right, coming up today, we're going to talk with Taylor Zarzar. He is the play-by-play voice, was the play-by-play voice for the Senior Bowl on Sirius XM Radio this past weekend. So we'll get some thoughts on how that all finished up. A lot of stuff going on kind of Jaguar-wise, Ryan. You had the state of the franchise on Friday, which when we come back in a minute, we'll all kind of go around the table and share our thoughts on what we heard about that. Tony and I get to spend maybe 5 minutes talking about it on Friday right as it wrapped up. And in addition to that, you had Gus Bradley and company finishing up a week's worth of work with the guys on the South squad who did win the Senior Bowl for what it's worth. The more emphasis, I think, is put on the week of practice than it is on the actual game performance as far as that goes. Told you a host of Jags will be out here throughout the course of the week, really beginning on Wednesday. Tonight is media day, so we will go and endeavor to get as many interviews with Bronco and Panther players, and that will basically be the makeup of the show tomorrow, and off we go, rolling on day one, live in San Francisco. Again, thanks to our friends at St. John the Divine Greek Orthodox Church. Thanks to Kevin Green, certified public accountant, always on a Monday, Wild West Guns and Gold brings you Jaguars today on location. Big Country's back in Jacksonville. We'll talk to him a little bit later on as well. We got the full house here, Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Hauer, and Fat Tony, Tyler Devitt in chilly San Francisco, California. Jaguars Today rolls on in a moment on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Jaguars Today, live from Super Bowl 50 in San Francisco, is brought to you by St. John the Divine Greek Orthodox Church, proud supporters of Wolfson Children's Hospital on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Bridgewater. Downfield and open for the touchdown is Robinson. And John, that's the player you have talked about, especially with Michael Irvin, that he has that home run ability that people are starting to learn about.
Allen Robinson, thrilling highlight call, huh?
At first I was like, okay, was that a radio call?
There's got to be more out of Wilbon, not Wilbon, out of Tirico. I guess, Tyler, you said you heard him on a show saying he's in favor of abolishing the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, I listened to a lot of ESPN Chicago radio, and he went on, and he called the game, obviously. You just heard him there. And he told the guys, I don't think they should have this game. No one wants to go. No one's interested. So he's calling the game and on record saying they shouldn't have this.
Well, good for him for not being a complete and total shill. But, I mean, it's not completely across the board. Who thinks they should keep having the Pro Bowl, other than people who are making money off the TV side? I mean, just in terms of football people, I'm sure there are people watch it. So, you know, maybe we don't speak for the rank-and-file typical football fan out there. If you watch it, good for you.
What's the alternative, though? What are you going to do, just scrap the game and go to a skills challenge or just not have anything?
Just have a all-league team, not have anything. Have a ceremony, have a dinner in Honolulu. As long as they get to go to Honolulu, right. I don't think they care as much about playing it, but whatever. It's not going away.
I was talking with you last night about it. What do you think about moving it back to the last game of the year after the Super Bowl? Do you think that's a better move, or do you like where it's at now?
I don't know.
I think I think all those guys, all those New England guys would have still dropped out.
Oh, I think the New England guys, this is a protest against the league, period.
And they're not, you know, if you lose in the conference title game, I mean, you have no interest in going anyways. But, I mean, people are going to watch it because it's football, and that's enough.
Right. Enough people will watch it that even if the ratings are declining right now, it's not enough for the NFL to consider doing away with it. And so be it. I'm not going to waste a whole lot of bandwidth, you know.
Look, it's the Pro Bowl. We have the same conversation about it every year.
Every year, right?
It's kind of irrelevant.
Let's be all indignant.
The game itself, who cares? It's do you have guys that are being recognized by everyone else around the league for what they're accomplishing in all these cities? And the hope is that the Jaguars are close to breaking through with a couple of those guys. Allen Robinson showed up yesterday in the Pro Bowl, obviously, after having a huge season here in Jacksonville, and hopefully that means next year, if he can back that up with another big season, that instead of having to be an alternate, Allen Robinson's just a Pro Bowler because he deserves to have that next to his name. That means a whole lot more than whatever the heck they do in the actual Pro Bowl game.
Mm-hmm. All right, we'll shelve the Pro Bowl talk. I was going to put the question today up, and I still am going to put the question today up, brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships, which is simply this: out of the 49 previous Super Bowls, which one was your favorite? You know, for whatever reason, maybe you're not even a fan, you know, maybe you were a fan of the team that won it. You're not a Jag fan. Doesn't matter what reason. And then we'll kind of discuss which ones stand out to us a little bit at the end of the program.
That's tough.
For me, I mean, if you went through that period when the NFC just won it every year with rarely a competitive game, there's some exceptions. The Giants Bills game was in the middle of that run. That was a one-pointer, but, you know, so many blowouts. I think we, for the most part, over the last 15 years or so, have had a golden age of entertaining Super Bowls, and hopefully we'll get another one this year. You know, solid majority of people are going to pick the Carolina Panthers to win this football game, and, you know, we've seen it before. The Denver Broncos are not going to be the biggest underdogs by far in a Super Bowl.
I mean, it's at 5.5 right now.
Right.
In that area, it's probably going to stay that way.
I thought it would open at 6, honestly, yeah. As impressive as Carolina's been. And so it's kind of, I think, moved to where I thought it would open up.
Well, it would have been interesting to see where it would have been had Denver's defense not done what they did to Brady.
Right.
I mean, if it was just a win.
Or a fluky kind of maybe a punt return here. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it would have opened at 7 or 6, and I think it would have climbed throughout the week. But it's one of those things when you have 2 weeks to think about and talk about a game is, you know, you're talking yourself into giving, okay, this is why Denver does have a chance.
Right. Well, we'll get an opportunity to talk about the game throughout the course of the week, although you know how it goes, Tony.
We'll be so busy.
We talk less about the actual
game.
We'll get to
Friday. We'll be like, what do you think's going to happen in the game?
Last 5 minutes we'll set aside for
it
that.
It becomes this sprint through the rest of the week. But, look, I think there is something to look at with the way Denver can match up with Carolina on the defensive side of the ball, and it's that they're flexible enough because of the options they have. They maybe have the best secondary in the league and have one of the best pass rushers in the league, and because they can balance those two things, you think it gives them a chance to figure out how to game plan some way to slow down Cam Newton's running, and if they can do that, then Carolina's offense could be neutralized because of how good that Broncos secondary is. It's not easy to stop Cam Newton from running the ball, but it feels like if anybody can do it in the league right now, it's this Denver defense.
Yeah, and if I'm Carolina, I open up. I try some zone read stuff early to keep Miller and Ware relatively honest. And then, you know, if they keep crashing down, you're going to get free yards. If they don't, maybe that gives you some extra time to do some quick passes.
All right, guys. Well, like I said, we'll talk about the game. No, we'll talk about the game plan. Because we're not going to have you here every day, Ryan, and it is still pretty fresh from last Friday. State of the franchise with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Tony, you and I got a chance for a few minutes at least to talk about some of the things that caught our eye. Like Ryan said, there was no one big splash thing. I always love the artist renderings that they show you because they're pretty true to life, right? Shad Khan has someone develop a vision. He helps put that vision into play, and when he says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. What's the timetable, Ryan? I'm a little confused. Mm-hmm. Final timetable for the covered practice facility amphitheater. When are they expecting it to be done?
They conveniently left that out of the presentation. Practice facility is not going to be done for the start of the season. Okay, is that the start of training camp? Is that the start of the regular season? Lamping said they could have done what Florida did, build something really quick, but then you're, you know, then what do you do with something that's not as good as you want? So they're going to take the time to build that up. They didn't announce, like, hey, this is when we want to have the first amphitheater concert. What we do know is that club area has to be done for the first preseason game because it's part of the season ticket plan.
Right. That work has been getting done already.
The west side is already being gutted.
West side.
So, and I assume they'll do both sides, concurrently. But that, to me, it's like maybe they're giving themselves some wiggle room there. I mean, when they did the scoreboards, they guaranteed they'd be done on a certain date. You know.
Well, why set yourself up to fail if you're not sure it can get done? Look, the Jags have survived since 1995 without an indoor practice facility. Yeah. I'm sure they could go one more season knowing that it's coming. The thing that surprised me or impressed me, however you want to describe it, the most was the extension of the south end zone and how much work they're actually doing to extend that part of the stadium to the point where it will kind of just join with the amphitheater, and you'll have like the second and third levels will now be balcony seating for the amphitheater. I think that's a major construction job as well.
Adam Schein, all he does is clap.
Is that what
he's doing on the air behind us?
Oh, is he
quit
behind
clapping
us?
And start talking. Well,
the acoustics are strange because I thought it was coming from behind you, but it was coming from behind me.
I was like, where's he going?
I don't know where he's going with that. I was like, I'm really impressed because I really, with the acoustics, I thought the clapping was behind O'Halloran. And I'm like, how does he know that's Adam Schein over there? That's pretty impressive by you.
But segueing back, shut up. back to the state of the franchise, a couple things that stood out to me is, you know, the ticket price thing. If you add everything up, it's a 3.6% increase. I always struggle as a reporter writing how, okay, is that a big deal? Is it not a big deal? So I decided in the story just to lay it out because it's not my dough. You know,
right.
It might price some people out of what they want to do. But I thought one of the key statistics here was their game day experience rating went down from 8, you know, a rating of 8, which is like out of 10, down this year to 7.4. And that runs in line from what the emails I get from fans is the club seat experience at this stadium sucked.
Well, guess what?
And
they're addressing that, right?
But
or trying to.
You know, it should have been better than it was. So I think now,
sucked in what regard? What kind of?
You know, lines were too long. They ran out of food.
That's not good.
The AC wasn't great. A TV or two didn't
They
break.
Did kind of jokingly refer to the SMG. Air conditioning. Yeah.
So I think the Jaguars have to make that club seat experience because they're charging premium prices. They got to give people a better and more premium experience. The London, it's going to be around 12.5% of the total local revenue. And I also was impressed by the footprint that this team is getting in terms of more people in Jacksonville are Jaguar fans. And they've only won 12 games in 3 years. Imagine what it's going to be like if they ever put a consistent winning product on the field. Because it's almost like people in this area are football fans. They may have grown up a Viking fan or a Steeler fan, but they're waiting to root for the home team.
Right.
Because that's what they want their kids to.
Yeah, you can feel it when they were good. I mean, it was a different feeling city when the Jaguars were, even in the middle of the 2000s, right, when they made the run with Jack for those couple of years into the playoffs. They beat Pittsburgh up there that year. It was a different feeling around the city because there were a bunch of those fans that are kind of fringe Jaguars fans that adopt this Jaguars team for those kinds of runs, and they just haven't had that in a decade here in Jacksonville. And look, it makes sense as far as the ticket price increase for a team that has spent, you know, this is the fourth year they've done this state of the franchise thing with us, and every one of them has been about local revenue, local revenue, local revenue, local revenue. It's why they're doing the London trip once a year, is to try to keep those local revenues at a point where they can stabilize the franchise in Jacksonville. At some point, if it's going to be about local revenue, you're going to have to increase ticket prices because that's where that money's coming in.
And they finally, I mean, in not that there was a figurative gun to their head, but, you know, they waited and they waited to do it. And then, okay, with the addition, you know, they decide, okay, we can't wait forever for this team to start winning. We have to start raising prices at some point. And so they have. And and then I guess the other thing was they talked about London and I would love to put some truth serum in the shot and say, okay, what do you think about these other games in London? If I'm him, I want to be the team that only plays.
Well, they talked about defending their turf there, right? And I think for now, Ryan, what they want to make sure they do is that, you know, the extension was a part of that. But I think what Mark Lamping was pointing out in part was, like, he had all these cities where the stadium issue was in flux or they didn't have a new stadium or they're just getting one now. And they decided to ship a game over there. Well, they're all going to realize, wow, I'm going to make double the revenue for this game as well. And it's going to become a more competitive situation. That's kind of the gist I got. And that, hey, we were here first. We were willing to take on that mantle of going year after year when nobody wanted to do it. So first priority ought to come our way.
We, you know, the Jags is going to get first dibs. If you want to play other cities, you can, but you're not playing at Wembley.
All right, we'll take a quick time out here live in San Francisco. Super Bowl 50 upcoming in 6 days. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Ryan O'Halloran, Tyler Devitt, all here with you. Monday's brought to you by Wild West Guns and Gold. And, of course, thanks to St. John the Divine Greek Orthodox Church for making the trip possible, our primary sponsor now, ever since we've been making these Super Bowl trips with 1010XL. Don't forget the Super Bowl 50 swag bag contest. Trust me, everywhere we go, it's like the sole reason we come now. Everywhere we go, free stuff, swag bag. And we're just grabbing everything we can and throwing it in there to make a fun prize pack. You can email Mike D at 1010XL.com. It's the only way you can enter the Super Bowl swag bag contest. You tell us who is going to win the Super Bowl. You don't need a score prediction, and make a prediction on one thing that will happen in the game. It could be you think Cam Newton's going to throw two interceptions. Whatever the case, you make your prediction on who wins and something that will happen in the game. If you get both parts right, you go into the pool of contestants that did get both of them right, and then we determine which prediction was the least likely to occur that actually came true, that person will be awarded the Super Bowl 50 swag bag. Greatest swag bag of all time. By the way, this may be the greatest 1010XL Radio Row Candy Bowl of all time. We'll have to go through some of the selections later. But
it is good.
We've outdone ourselves. Howard's had his breakfast candy already to start the day. All right, we are live in San Francisco, continuing coverage of Super Bowl 50 coming up on Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Welcome our next guest to the Metro Diner Chat Counter.
These are delicious.
On 1010XL, Metro Diner, where the locals eat.
I take it, country, does that mean our next guest is on the line? I take it. That's a no, not yet. All right, there you have it. San Francisco, Super Bowl 50, and out here, thanks to the good, the generous donations of the folks at St. John the Divine Greek Orthodox Church, making it happen for us for the umpteenth year in a row here on Radio Row. There's not a whole lot that goes on Monday. We don't even try to pretend anymore. Although Media Day tonight is in San Jose, which is like an hour away to get there. So it's going to start at, what, 5:15 local. So 5:15, then you'll have another hour in between 6:15, 7:15.
Like four, I think they shortened it a little bit between sessions.
Oh, did they?
Because they want to fit it into a three-hour TV window.
Right.
So if it goes 5:15 to 6:15, then it may go then 7 to 8.
Okay, so like a 45-minute break in between, which is fine with me.
But But so what are your goals for tonight? Because you can have goals at this thing now that it's in an arena. My goal is to not get injured.
Okay.
That's a good start.
That's a good one.
And because tomorrow it's a limited roster of players available, you gotta you gotta go in with a plan, but you just have to. Big fella's gotta keep us cool tonight.
All right, I always go in. It's targets of opportunity for us. You know, there's no point trying to sit and listen to something said by Peyton Manning at the podium that's going to be on the internet in 2 minutes anyway. Our goal is we go in every year. Tony and I try to get, a half dozen to eight one-on-one interviews with each team, and obviously you're not going to get the frontline guys because they set those guys up on little podiums and everyone, just crowds around them and you can't get any one-on-one FaceTime. But, we look for angles. We'll look for former Gators, former Seminoles, things like that. I'm wondering, will Kelvin Benjamin be there tonight, for instance? I don't know that he will. I don't know that he won't.
I think a better chance to get Kelvin will be Wednesday or Thursday when he's sitting at a table. I don't know. If I'm them, I don't want an injured player on that floor.
Right.
Tonight's a good chance to get a couple position coaches, some players that
definitely
maybe have a Jaguar tie. Brandon Marshall, have a lot of people around him. So, you just got to survive that one.
Yeah, you got to get in there with the sharp elbows, man. That's the way we do it. We get in there and we get as much as we possibly can, and that's what we'll do tomorrow on the program. Is play that back, and you'll hear all those interviews that we're able to accumulate tonight. And tomorrow, Ryan, for us, I'm very happy because the media party appeared on the schedule for the first time this morning that I see. I downloaded the app, and that's a staple. At least one night of free drinking is got to be on the agenda every week. We took it easy last night. We went to a place called Grub Steaks, and had some burgers with fried eggs on them, and they were quite delicious.
The burger with the fried eggs good. A delicacy of the United States is two blocks away from my hotel. It's called Jack in the Box.
Here we go.
I walked in there. I looked at the guy. I said, "Should I just start a tab?"
Right. You're gonna get to know me pretty well over the next week. You are that guy who goes to London and looks for Mickey D's and is quite content to do that.
But Saturday night, my brother's coming in town because he's actually going to the game. It'll be his first Super Bowl.
Oh, okay.
And so we've made a reservation. We're going to Morton's on Saturday night.
Are you?
We'll have something good instead of fast food.
Apparently didn't get that invitation from Ryan O'Halloran and crew. All right, good to know what you're doing on Saturday night. A little bird talk.
Are you guys staying through the game?
I am, yes.
Yeah.
I am.
You guys are going
back? Yeah, we're flying back on Saturday morning.
Okay.
Yes, unless Tyler's able to hook it up behind the Oklahoma City Thunder bench on Saturday night when they play the Golden State Warriors, baby! Tyler may be high school buddies with Mitch McGarry.
We're trying. Hopefully we'll be sitting there courtside, Thunder Warriors.
Saturday everybody night. Gets, you know, every one of those players gets a handful of tickets. So if we were, it's going to be a crazy expensive ticket anyway to get into that game. Super Bowl weekend. The best team in the NBA, maybe the best, will turn out to be the best regular season team in history. And the minimum price on StubHub to get in is $200, right? For like the nosebleeds.
Yeah, the tickets I was looking at where we'd possibly be sitting was like $2,500.
Yeah, baby.
But free to us, though. So
that's free to us is the key. You don't get that in the swag bag, by the way. You don't get that and show up.
You may get a ticket stub.
Maybe not. I don't know. maybe a program if someone happens to drop one on the floor. I don't know. Because that's the point of the swag bag. It's all free stuff.
Yeah.
Stuff we all get. We're not
close enough.
Anything.
We may be able to ask for like a sweaty like headband or something. Yeah. You know, like after the game, we got a swag bag. give somebody your sweat.
They got like premium prices because that's the only time the Warriors are home this week, which to me is insane. They should have had them home three times this week, and they would have been able to do that for every game.
Yeah.
So, but I'll throw it back to you guys. What was your major takeaway from Friday's festivities?
Again, you know, just. That, look, they know they need to win, but that's not what that thing is about, you know.
A lot of people were saying, well, Ashad, you know, wants a winning record or else. They didn't say that.
No, he didn't say that.
He expects to win, but that's what he's supposed to say.
We need to win games, but what does that mean?
I mean, people kill me on Twitter when I say, hey, you know, 7-9 or 8-8, it could be back. I don't just throw these things at the wall. I mean,
right.
Everything depends on, again, with the clapping. So it all depends on like what kind of record it is. I mean, let's say they're ravaged by injuries in the first month of the season and start 0-3. Well, if they rally to go 8-8, are you blowing it up? I don't think you will, because that would sort of be contradiction of the patience thing he's professing.
Right.
I know for me, it's them trying to figure out how to make Jacksonville work for them. And because it is such a transient city and they're showing the TV ratings for the other smaller markets in the NFL, and because you have people that don't leave those cities to go anywhere. You know, it's the people that grow up in Green Bay stay in Green Bay. It's just something they do. People who grow up in Buffalo stay in Buffalo. And in Jacksonville, you have people from all over the country that have their own fandom that they're bringing to Jacksonville. We mentioned it a few moments ago, and it's, for me, the pull quote is from Shad at the very beginning of the thing, where he said, we don't just want to exist. And I think they're trying to figure out how to make that work, where you're not just an NFL franchise, but you're a premier NFL franchise. And how to turn a market like Jacksonville into something that is more than just that little market that got a team is a difficult task.
Don't you think, though, that the work of the first few years of the Shad Khan regime, really starting in year two once they hired Dave Caldwell, the new general manager, has been to make sure that it exists, right? I mean, that's been, but before you thrive, you got to make sure that the stability level
sure.
is there, and that's why the London thing happened, and that's why, you know, they're increasing the premium seating options, which had done very well selling. You mentioned earlier, you know, the price increase. I am a season ticket holder, and for me, I was happy to know that I have the option. It's on me. If I get my butt in gear and get it done by the end of February,
yeah.
there's no ticket price increase
that,
for me.
I thought that was important because from a fan's perspective, you know who they're playing during the season.
Right.
You just don't know the dates yet. So, you know, do it now. And, you know, let's say, you know, it's 1/7 is the down payment.
Right. You pay 1/7 of what your season ticket package is. And
so
no, not
say,
everyone can
say,
do that. Yeah. I understand.
Well, let's say you pay 1/7 and you got to move. Well, you know, you're out less than almost like a half of a game ticket. So, but Tony, you mentioned the comparisons, TV ratings. If I'm the Jaguars, I sort of like keep Buffalo and Green Bay in separate categories because those are regional franchises.
Right.
So I know they have to put all 32 teams up there, but I think it'd be more concerning for the Jaguars if Tampa Bay and Miami within the state were also thriving. Well, they're not either because they're in the same boat.
Right.
So, I mean, Miami can lean on a little bit of history, but it's also been, what, more than 40 years since they won a title with the Dolphins. So, and they're doing a ton of stuff on their stadium work. So, and then the other thing is they showed a graph of all these teams who are going to be playing in London. Well, and hosting games in London. Well, the reason a lot of these teams are hosting games in London is that's pretty much a prerequisite for hosting a Super Bowl. So it's a little misleading, but every team wants to play a road game there. Now they have this carrot. Okay, if you play a home game there, you're in consideration for a Super Bowl.
Right, and your bottom line will probably it may be difficult logistically, you know, and it could give you a competitive disadvantage to some small degree. But like you said, it will be worth your while.
And just final thought on London is, you guys, Mike, you've made that trip. They got it down to a science now in terms of the teams getting over there, getting them to the practice facility right outside their hotel. So it's not as big a crutch as maybe that was when they started doing it.
Right. I still think it would be a major disadvantage to try to have a team do that and make those trips, eight times
suicide.
A year. Right, exactly. Yeah. So, but, on a one-off kind of basis, it's a different story. Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Halloran, and Fat Tony, Tyler Devitt here with you in San Francisco for Super Bowl 50. Travel and hotel accommodations provided in part for us here by my friend Kevin Green, certified public accountant. Tax season is almost upon us, and in today's economy, every dollar counts. It's why I trust CPA Kevin Green to handle my returns. When you go to a certified public accountant, the idea is they should be able to save you as much in tax savings as their cost to you. And Kevin Green has done that for me and more over the years. It's been years now that we've been together working on my taxes, and I appreciate having him in my corner. He offers preparation of personal and all business income tax returns, bookkeeping, payroll tax return services. And look, with economy changing all the time, people can go from being a W-2 employee to a subcontractor. I went through that a few years ago. All the 1099 guys out there are afraid of the tax you may owe due to your change in status. Call Kevin or for any tax questions at 904-332-6500. Office is centrally located across from Tinseltown at 4540 Southside Boulevard, Suite 303. That's 904-332-6500 for Kevin Green, CPA, the man I trust when it comes to tax time. You can trust we will be back with more coverage of Super Bowl 50, just kicking things off this Monday. Taylor Zarzer going to join us at 11:15. He called the Senior Bowl on Sirius XM Radio this weekend. We'll get a first-hand bird's-eye perspective of what he saw from both the South and North squads. It's the Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. Jaguars Today continues live in San Francisco next on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Welcome our next guest to the Metro Diner Chat Counter.
These are delicious!
On 1010XL, Metro Diner, where the locals eat.
All right, we continue on Jaguars Today. Super Bowl 50 upcoming in 6 days, live in San Francisco. They're going to play the game country in Santa Clara. But everything else, well, I guess it's happening in San Fran and San Jose. It is kind of spread out. They call it the Bay Area Super Bowl. The game will be in Santa Clara. We're here in the heart of San Francisco. And despite the fact that we're staying at the Holiday Inn Golden Gate, we only did get in yesterday afternoon. We have yet to see the Golden Gate Bridge. Unless Tyler went out wandering last night for a few minutes. I don't think he got to the bridge, if I'm not mistaken.
No, not that far. Hopefully that's something later in the week we'll catch up on.
I'm thinking tomorrow could be sightseeing day in San Francisco. We get off at 9 in the morning tomorrow, and our other duties will include the media party tomorrow night. So that's basically all we've got. From 9 to 7:30, we're on our own tomorrow. It's the one day we'll have completely free from work responsibility once we get off. Noon your time, 9 o'clock here on the best coast. That's what Maurice Jones-Drew calls
fellowship
it,
and camaraderie
way.
Will be had.
Well, that's debatable, but we'll drink one for Hacker, and then we'll have fellowship and camaraderie. Missing Donna Murphy, missing Lauren Brooks, but
dirt. You have to have a couple brews.
We'll get to my Hacker impersonations along the way, O'Halloran. You just settle down. Let me welcome in my good friend Father Nicholas Lowe with St. John the Divine Greek Orthodox Church, which is the organization that has made it possible for any of my shows, whether it's been the Mike Dempsey Show or Jaguars Today, or we've had so many of them, I can't even remember all the names of them at this point in time here on 1010XL. But it's always the parishioners and the folks at St. John the Divine that have stepped up. They supported this program and all my programs all throughout the year, but particularly during Super Bowl week. Their generosity makes this trip possible, and it also enables us to do some nice charitable work. And this year we're going to do some stuff to benefit the folks at Wilson's Children's Hospital like we did last year. And we welcome in Father Nicholas Lowe. Father, how are you? Good morning. It's morning out here, so I'm still on West Coast time now. I've acclimated myself. So good early – I guess it's morning for you too. I'm losing my mind. I travel three time zones, and I don't know what's going on. How are you?
I'm doing great, Mike. It's always, always a pleasure, brother, to be with you and to be with all your fans and listeners on the radio. Thank you so much for having us.
Well, you and I, you know, we don't get together as much as I'd like to, but we see each other periodically throughout the year. But one thing I can always count on is getting a chance to sit down and chat with you at this time of year, and today being no exception. We'll talk about your thoughts on the game coming up a little bit, but I know you've got a lot of exciting events going on with St. John the Divine, including coming up in just a few weeks at the Morocco Shrine Auditorium, February 26th, 27th, and 28th. It's the 2016 Jacksonville Greek Festival, which is an absolute ball. And, Father, I hear tell you don't have to be Greek to have a good time at the Greek Festival.
Absolutely not. You know, the beautiful thing about this event is that we've been doing it for the last couple of years, and thousands of people have come out, just had a great time for fellowship and fun. You can obviously learn a little bit about the Greek culture and the Greek food. I know many people love the Greek food, but also it's a great opportunity for us to do something great for a worthy cause. And like with your show, we also at our Greek festival are giving a portion of our proceeds to help Wilson's Children's Hospital, a place that's really dear to our heart and dear to really our community here in Jacksonville.
We've supported a lot of charities with you in partnership over the years, Ronald McDonald House for years, and I know you're still a big fan of the work they do. Why is Wilson in particular one that really tugs on your heartstrings?
You know, as a pastor of a church, one thing that, you know, every time you go to the hospital to see anyone, you're always moved because people are at their most vulnerable state and oftentimes in very difficult sicknesses and facing situations that are really out of their control, and especially when you're at a hospital, when you're visiting and seeing children. We have had members of our church family here that have been a beneficiary of the service and the offer and the assistance from Wilson's Hospital, and they just have a great way of the way in which they minister to their patients and to their own clients. And I think it's just something that's admirable, and since we've seen that firsthand, we just kind of want to give back to them. To thank them, but also to help them in their to further their assistance and service to our community and to our youth.
Yeah, they're phenomenal. I don't want to get into too many personal details about it, but I credit them with saving one of my relatives' lives. Honestly, they do tremendous work over there, and we're happy to support them through our partnership with you at St. John the Divine. The Greek Festival is going to be a blast, Father Nick. It is every year. Fantastic music, culture, food. I love it. As you, a good friend, mutual friend of ours, my business partner, Nick Furis over at Spectrum Films, when there are two or more Greeks in the room, all of a sudden people start talking faster. They start talking in a language I don't understand. And there's a lot of hugging that goes on. Would you say all those things are accurate?
They are. Absolutely. I mean, you know, in the Mediterranean culture, I mean, everyone kind of greets people beyond just a simple handshake. They always do it in hugs and kisses, and at least the two-cheek kiss is something part of it. Sometimes they even do a three-kiss cheek. So, but it's a great way that, you know, this event is something that we're just so very proud of. We used to have it years and years ago, and then kind of took a little bit of a break and then brought it back last year at the fairgrounds and now at the Morocco Shrine on the February 26th and 27th and 28th. And we're just excited about what it can do and just kind of bringing our city together. So we encourage, you know, all of your loyal listeners, I consider our family listeners, to invite their friends to come out there and to support a great cause and also to have a great time.
Yeah, it is a funny little, you know, melding of the church and sports and all these things we've had over the years, and the way you get your messages out.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, the live sports talk goes late every Wednesday live from the Millhouse with Ken Mara, Chuck Elliott, and Ron Compton. It's Compton & Company, brought to you by United Rentals, Wednesday night at 8.
After a hard day's work.
1010 XL, 92.5 FM. Welcome our next guest to the Metro Diner Chat Counter.
These are delicious.
On 1010 XL, Metro Diner, where the locals eat.
All right, before we move on to our next guest, I want to say apologies to Father Nicholas Lowe, St. John the Divine. Right there in the final question, we got cut off. O'Halloran got up on the table, kicked the wire out. Nice job, O'Halloran. We've now banished Ryan O'Halloran of the Florida Times Union. Actually, I think he's going in search of breakfast right now. Candy was not enough for him, Tony, this morning. Let's talk a little Senior Bowl in the books. Like I said, busy time right now for the Jaguars. State of the franchise, Allen Robinson blowing up in the Pro Bowl last night. Gus Bradley and company for the third consecutive year won the privilege of being able to coach the Senior Bowl. Stop kicking the wires out, O'Halloran. All right, we welcome in Taylor Zarzer. He had the play-by-play of the Senior Bowl on SiriusXM NFL Radio, and he's also the host of the First Team with Greg McElroy. You remember that name, each weekday morning from 7 to 10 Eastern Time on SiriusXM College Sports Nation, Channel 91. Taylor, good morning. How are you?
Doing well, boys. I know that I'm sure you've been doing shows in recent years hoping that the Jacksonville Jaguars never leave town, but maybe have speculated about where they could go if they left. I'm here to tell you they're not going to go to Mobile, but if they do, Gus Bradley is absolutely qualified to coach the team, given he probably knows more about that city than anyone after the three straight times that he's been there. But he does a great job, there's no question, and loves that experience.
Well, I hope he loves the experience, but I hope he wants to leave it in the rearview mirror, Taylor. We're about sick and tired of them qualifying. Once you're in that position, I think why not take the advantage of being there and working with those guys? But we hope he doesn't qualify to do that for a long, long time. Let me ask you, most people say that the week of practice really supersedes anything that happens in the game. And, you know, that's not to take away from the performance of these players in the game, but is that really because you have a lot of, you know, I think scouts and GMs and whatnot that actually will leave before the game even takes place?
Yeah, I think that the biggest reason for that is because you're not going to play by the same set of rules in a real college football game or a real NFL game. It's not completely like what you saw in the Pro Bowl last night, but it's more similar to that in terms of no blitzing and being careful anytime that, you know, there's a tackle made, et cetera. So I think that the lack of contact, the lack of how physical the game is probably why most GMs and scouts don't stay for the game. But, I mean, there certainly are exceptions through the years. And Philip Rivers was extraordinary when he played in the game. Derek Carr 2 years ago was. And I thought Dak Prescott had really showed well on Saturday and probably moved up a round or two because of the way that he played, just his command of the offense, how quick he was. But to your point, no, I think the week is way more important than the game. And the best case in point in that is Carson Wentz. The quarterback out of North Dakota State had a fantastic week. And each of these quarterbacks only played a quarter in the game, and he really couldn't get into any rhythm in the first quarter of the game on Saturday. But he had a terrific week down there, and I think I got to be honest at this point, Mike, I'd be a little surprised if he's not the first quarterback selected.
Jaguars need pass rushing help in the worst way, specifically from the defensive end spot. Who'd you like, and who hurt their who didn't help their stock?
Well, if we can do an entire segment on the Senior Bowl, and certainly even more on all the things that happened down there. But if the Senior Bowl boils down to two words, Noah Spence are those two words. The guy was destroying Jason Spriggs, the All-American offensive lineman out of Indiana, in the game on Saturday, and he had a great week, too. Spence, of course, from Ohio State, but kicked out of the program for off-the-field issues and finished up at Eastern Kentucky, and so that'll be a question off the field with Spence. But on the field, he was outstanding, and seems like he's gotten his life in order. He was terrific in the game. But the D-line really was the strength of this group on both sides. Sean Oakman out of Baylor played really well. Defensive tackle Adolphus Washington from Ohio State. Sheldon Day from Notre Dame. All those guys really looked strong this week in Mobile. But it starts with Noah Spence. He was outstanding.
Well, let me follow up on that, what Ryan just asked you, Taylor, about Noah Spence. I've been hearing that those off-the-field issues are, you know, pretty significant, a hurdle in some people's mind, and that it's really going to take some getting to know this guy before you can invest, a high draft pick in him. How concerned are people, or do they think that, you know what, he put it behind him, he went to Eastern Kentucky, he got things back on the right path? How bad are these red flags for him right now at this point in the process?
Well, I think that, you know, that it's a concern. I mean, Adolphus Washington, his teammate, was arrested for solicitation and missed the Fiesta Bowl, and these guys were roommates in school together. And I do think that certainly any time that you have issues off the football field, it's going to be – and you're trying to invest so much money. And this guy is absolutely a first-round pick. He's a top-10 pick, no question about it. So if you're going to invest that kind of money and you get it wrong and he does something off the football field again – that, where he has a drug issue, and I know it was he failed several tests while he was there at Ohio State. If he makes that kind of mistake and he's all of a sudden in the substance abuse, program, I mean, look at for a different variety of reasons, but look at Deion Jordan at Miami. I mean, that was one of the craziest picks ever. Right before the draft, they don't have any conversation with the guy, and then all of a sudden they trade half the draft for this guy a couple of years ago. It cost the general manager his job, probably cost the coaching staff their job, and, you know, I know he's going to try to make the comeback to the league next year, but I think it's a huge, you know, I think it's a huge investment. It's been a while. He's been clean all season and seems to be very honest and open about his problems. But without any question, I think there's always a risk. But on the football field, I'm telling you guys, this guy was tremendous all week.
How difficult is it to balance doing a broadcast like the Senior Bowl? You know, it's less about the game itself, and it's more about the scouting that's going on during that week leading up and in the game itself. You know, that's what people are paying attention to, is the individual performances of these guys. Does that make it more difficult to do a broadcast, or where do you try to focus it while you're actually doing the game?
That's a great question. You know, my man Tyler Devitt produces our broadcast during the year of Touchdown Radio games, and Gino and I are all about what's happening in the game, not individual performance. This game, this past Saturday, is so different for exactly the reasons you just referenced. And, you know, I certainly will give you down and distance and tell you what happened, but then right as soon as the play is over, you got to transition into this guy's career, what his draft stock is. Unfortunately, we had two analysts in the game that both either coached or scouted or played at the professional level, and they're going to immediately give you that kind of information. But you're right, it is very different. On top of that, you know, you always have a two or a three deep that you get ready with in this game, but you're not going to use all those players. In this game, you're going to use every single one that you have on your board in front of you. So it is a little bit more difficult to prepare for, but it's a lot of fun, too, I have to tell you. I mean, to see, really, I think the Senior Bowl is obviously the premier all-star event, but when you watch, especially on Friday and Saturday of the draft, every person drafted on Friday and Saturday just about is going to have played in the Senior Bowl. So that's where it really matters to these staffs, is second and third round selections, which certainly make up a huge part of your roster.
Taylor Zarzer here with us, SiriusXM College Sports Nation. By the way, you redeemed yourself with Tyler a moment ago by giving him a nice kudo after saying Spriggs got handled. He doesn't take kindly to his Indiana boys getting any kind of criticism. He thinks Spriggs should be the number one pick in every draft, not just the NFL draft. But
I always got to give him. He did a great job this season for us. And
he does
sorry
occasionally
to be honest,
do a good job.
Spriggs.
Yeah.
Spriggs does.
All right.
Spriggs. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you finish your thoughts on Briggs.
Yeah, he's going to be a first rounder too, potentially. He had to go up against the best pass rusher in the game in Spence, and that was very difficult. But he had a terrific career as an All American, no question. I just one last thought about the Senior Bowl guys. Braxton Miller, outstanding week, and really transitioned well from an athlete, if you will, in Urban Meyer's system, to a guy that I think can line up and play in the slot at the National Football League level. He won the practice award, which is a very big deal during the week. The scouts and general managers that are there are all polled about who should win it, and he won it. That's a pretty big sign for him and his stock at the next level. So that was another big story that certainly came out of Mobile.
Yeah, that's what was the next thing I was going to ask you about. We've seen a lot of quarterback to other position projects. Some of them work. Julian Edelman has worked famously. Denard Robinson to some degree in Jacksonville, and then you get other guys that just don't translate. He does look like a natural. His body type, Taylor, the way he runs, you can see, had they played him at another position his entire career at Ohio State, he probably would have flourished there.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, he's around 200 pounds now, too. He's lost a lot of weight. He looks like a wide receiver now, but I think everyone was shocked at his route running during the week, especially on Thursday in his last practice. He actually tweaked his ankle towards the end of practice, which is why he was a little ineffective in the game. But on Thursday, before he tweaked his ankle, he showed off every single route, and his command of it, his knowledge of the game, a really bright guy who's got a lot of leadership and took the week very seriously. But he did, and I think that you're right. I mean, sometimes you don't see it translate to the next level, but if he would have played 3 or 4 years at that position in college, he would have been exceptional, I think, at it. So don't be surprised, you know, second, third round. Again, if you see Braxton Miller drafted and making an impact on an NFL roster, again, primarily in the slot next year.
Jaguars, one of many teams who need free safety help. Anybody in this game on Saturday stick out in your regard in terms of being able to help a team right away?
Well, Tyvus Powell had a good week. The Ohio State kid at strong safety played well. K.J. Dillon is out of West Virginia as a free safety, and he's also good as a return specialist. He to me, was the best of the free safeties that played on Saturday, K.J. Dillon. In terms of practice this week, there's a kid out of William & Mary. You know, you always look at these small schools that we don't know nearly as much about, but DeAndre Houston Carson out of William & Mary had a really good week. And, you know, it's one of those guys you wonder, how in the world did he end up at a school like that? But he had a really good week and, you know, looks the part, 6'1", 200 pounds. He's real physical, plays a little bit bigger than that. So I would look at one of those guys. But it's K.J. Dillon, I think, has a chance to have a really special career.
We know the Jags are looking for help on all three levels of their defense this offseason. We've talked a little bit about D-line, some secondary right there. What about the linebacker position this weekend?
Reggie Ragland didn't play in the game, the linebacker out of Alabama, but he had a great week. I think that he might have had some agreement where he would come to all the practices but didn't necessarily have anything to gain by playing. I'm not really sure exactly what was the reason for not participating in the game, but he did have a great week. He's 260 pounds, and this guy's really physical. He moved from middle linebacker to outside linebacker during the week and did not disappoint at all. Tyler Matakevich, I know that people don't like to throw around the comparisons, but just to give you a visual of who he reminds you of is Zach Thomas. I mean, he could have made 20-plus tackles in the game if they let him in on every play. He's a linebacker out of Temple. And he was terrific all week and had a great, great career. But he's just one of those guys, has a motor like Thomas, who's always going to be around the football. One of the problems, though, is some of these scouts and some of these general managers refuse to draft a linebacker that's, you know, shorter than 6'1". And Matakevich is right around 5'11 or 6 feet tall. And you wonder if that hurts their stock. I've never really understood that, to be honest. But he is an inch or two undersized. But he had a terrific week. Ragland and Matakevich, to me, were the two linebackers that looked the best.
As we get ready to wrap up, Taylor Zarzer here with us, SiriusXM College Sports Nation. Taylor, surprises, good or bad for you, whether it was the week of performance or whether it's your eyes or not, just the buzz, which guys right. exceeded expectations, which guys maybe failed to live up to it this week?
I think obviously Braxton Miller, like we always talked, but we already talked sure. about, and Dak Prescott are two guys that certainly improved their stock, probably made some money, if you will, during the entire week in Mobile. And I think that also Tyler Irvin, a little tailback, 5'10", 200 pounds out of San Jose State, he had a really good week. The littlest Gronkowski, Glenn Gronkowski, transitioning from fullback at Kansas State to tight end, he played great. His entire family was there. They had their own booth right next to us, Rob included. Papa G included, all those guys were there. But Glenn looked great in front of his family all week and in the game on Saturday. In terms of disappointment, I think it's Jake Coker, the quarterback out of Alabama. It took him way too long to make decisions in the game when they're not even really blitzing. And his motion is just such an elongated, long, slow motion. I think it's gonna be a problem. He looks like an NFL quarterback. But it just takes him too long to process information. And certainly he gets a lot of credit for helping the team get to win the national championship. But I think a lot of people were disappointed in the way that he performed on Saturday.
All right. Well, some good names to keep an eye out for and some other guys. We'll see if they can rehabilitate their stock. Taylor Zarzer, not only with Touchdown Radio, but with SiriusXM College Sports Nation, host of The First Team with Greg McElroy each weekday morning on that network from 7 until 10 a.m. Eastern time. Taylor, despite the fact that you said nice things about Tyler Devitt, we appreciate you joining us here today, and we'll probably be calling on you again throughout the process as we get ready for this year's NFL draft. Thanks for the time today, man.
I would love it. You guys have a great week out there.
All right. Sounds good. We'll try our best. Yeah, it is good stuff. And clearly, I mean, you ask him one thing about any position, he rattles off a list of five or six names, pretty comprehensive. Obviously, on top of what's going on out there. I think the thing,
again, with the clapping,
and you're going to have to get over that. Yeah. The thing with Noah Spence is for the Jags, look, you hear Taylor Zarzer talk about how this guy is like a top 10 talent, right? Well, he's, I think with the off-field issues, nobody's considering him as a top 10 kind of guy. If the Jags were to draft Jalen Ramsey, you want it to be as deep a class of pass rushers as possible, regardless of what they do in free agency, Ryan. I don't think that's going to keep them from drafting pass rush if they sign Olivier Vernon, for instance,
yeah,
right?
Well, yeah.
So the question becomes, how many of these guys that you look at that could be available at the top of round two could be impact players? Or do you like a guy well enough, maybe a Noah Spence, for instance, to make a move up if you've got the draft capital, maybe in conjunction with a move back at the top if the right guy isn't there? But I don't think it's likely. I think Dave Caldwell likes his, you know, likes the pursuit of the true difference-maker type guys. And he felt Dante Fowler Jr. was going to be one of those guys last year. I don't think he was that interested in moving out of the spot, for instance.
He wasn't. And also what we have to look at from a Jaguar standpoint is, okay, we expect them to pursue a pass rusher. How do they feel about the free safety class after Ramsey? If they feel like it's not great, do they maybe sign a veteran free safety to a two-year deal, somebody who is better than Sergio Brown but around the same age, feeling that, okay, they have to cover their bases in case Ramsey isn't there at five, and then maybe take one in the second round. But, I mean, I think if you sign a pass rusher, if Ramsey's there in at number five, you take him, and then you get down to that second round. And Dave's MO isn't to trade back into the first round because it costs too much. He wants to have as many picks as possible. Is that you look at the board on that Friday night, you say, okay, who's the best pass rusher available?
Right, but he has traded up. He traded up to get Allen Robinson. And,
he's more likely to trade up
into
Friday
the second
night, Saturday night.
Understood, but, I mean, he does have a history of at least doing it with Allen Robinson, Brandon Leonard, guys like that. If he feels there's one left of whatever he is seeking, a wide receiver and or an offensive lineman in that case.
Well, to piggyback on that, where I think he could be a mover that second night of the draft is he drafts in the early third round. If he gets back into, if he gets to around the Linder territory like 2 years ago and he sees that linebackers are dwindling.
Right.
Okay, that's when he makes his move. He's got two sixes. Use one of those, use a fifth to move back into third. That means you walk out of the first two nights of the draft with a first round, a second round, two thirds.
It wouldn't be the worst thing in the world.
No.
I think the worst case scenario right now, I think, put it this way, the best case scenario is guys like Carson Wentz and Jared Goff look great throughout the next couple of months, right? Because you want at minimum of one. Everyone's assuming Cleveland takes a quarterback right there. What if they don't is the question.
Yeah.
I don't think Dallas is drafting a quarterback at four. With Tony Romo still on board, I think they'll wait on that. At least they want instant help while Romo's still in his window.
And Cleveland has always been a wild card because you never know what's going on with ownership. Why? Even now, they're even more of a wild card with the management structure they have in place. Maybe they feel like they can get greater value at that pick by taking an instant impact player as opposed to a quarterback. And they can circle back in the second round. I mean, who knows what their thoughts are going to be on trading up throughout the draft and just giving away picks. So they're the unknown. And then when the Jags come up, I think best case is that Ramsey's there.
All right, let's take a time out here. We'll come back. We're rapidly running out of program here. Today, the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships Fan Feedback Spotlight simply asked, which has been the best Super Bowl and all the ones you've watched out of the first 49 Super Bowls, which has been either your favorite or you think the best, the most competitive, most compelling Super Bowl? And we'll see if Super Bowl 50 can match it. Brought to you by our friends at St. John the Divine Greek Orthodox Church. They are our primary sponsors for sending us out here to California this year. And, of course, Monday's brought to you, as always, by Wild West Guns and Gold here on Jaguars Today. Don't forget the Super Bowl swag bag contest. Email MikeD at 1010XL.com. It's the only way you can get in. If you want a copy of everything we get for free during Super Bowl week, and they just throw free stuff at the media.
It's just beginning. We already got a swag bag.
We got a bag.
The bag is swag.
I got to say, the bag wasn't swag. The bag cost $1. It's all right. It was a pretty cool Super Bowl 50 commemorative, like, shopping bag.
Yeah.
We were doing a little shopping yesterday. I got to say, the fan area here, in terms of the options, I've never seen so many different apparel options at a Super Bowl. It's crazy. How cool would it be to see 50% of that be Jaguar stuff one day.
That'd be cool.
That'd be unbelievable.
Would have been especially cool this year with all the gold they got out here after the bowl, gold and all that stuff we had done. But it's the 50th anniversary, the golden anniversary of the Super Bowl.
That would have been pretty nice.
There's a bunch of gold gear here in San Fran.
We like to roll deep with the Jaguar gear when we're on the road. We like to represent the city of Jacksonville. Tony, you got, where were you, in the airport yesterday? You got off the plane?
Yeah, we landed in San Francisco. I'm walking off the plane, so we're in the terminal, and there's some guy waiting. I don't even know where the next flight was going, but he's like, "Go Jags!" He just yelled it out, and I was like, "Yeah, go Jags, brother."
It wasn't, did you take it as a legit, like, go Jags, or it wasn't like, "Ha, isn't that cute, go Jags?"
No, that was a legit, because I've gotten plenty. I was wearing my Jaguars jacket yesterday, and I got plenty of the, "There's the Jaguars fan." You know, I get, you get plenty of that anytime we go to the Super Bowl and wear our gear, but, yeah, we did get the legit go Jags in the San Francisco airport.
I saw a Rams T-shirt on sale at LAX yesterday that said, "Welcome home."
Nice.
Welcome home.
I did buy it.
You didn't? All right.
But I didn't tweet out a picture because then that would give me an avalanche of negative tweets. Well, you know, the TV cover's moving anyways.
A tweet here from Little Grandma at Prairie Cat 55. Did you see that? Her daughter would just about kill for a week to be within walking distance of a Jack in the Box. So enjoy. Don't worry. O'Halloran will enjoy it for all of us at Jack in the Box as far as that goes. No, you can have the mints with the fruity candy as well for that other tweet that came in from Aaron. You just don't have to eat them at the same time. You could offer them together in the same bowl. It's quite fine. Don't worry. It's going to be all right. All right, we'll get to the fan feedback question of the day coming up as we kick off our coverage in San Francisco for Super Bowl 50 here on Jaguars Today on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. Stick around. More to do on 1010 XL 92.5 FM. Super Bowl week. The Chris Visser's not in the house. Chris Visser. Let's see who's on the sheet this year, Tony. I don't know yet. Chris Visser is a, yes, 30th year of Super Bowl for you, Chris. Maybe we should interview Chris Visser. Tony, who do we have here that he's offering up this week? Charles Haley would be fun. Haven't had Charles Haley. Rick Barry. Rick Barry is a very knowledgeable, very opinionated guest. Rick Barry loves him some Rick Barry.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know if you've ever interviewed Rick Barry. Of course, the lovely Leslie Visser, Neil Smith, some of the staples like Jack Youngblood, Rocky Blyer, and on and on and on. So I'm sure we'll be talking to some of those guys at some point throughout the course of the week. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, and Rod O'Halloran, the newsprint's kicking in. Oof.
Yeah, I could tell.
Is Mike Haynes going to be what time is Mike Haynes going to
be? Mike Haynes will be here every minute of every day, all week long, wearing that Hall of Fame jacket.
Yeah.
You know, actually, we're going to have Mike Haynes on. You won't hear it till Friday. He'll be here with Fred Biletnikoff on Thursday. And, you know, Mike Haynes is a great player. You know, and the first time you come to the Super Bowl, you're like, "Oh, there's Mike Haynes. You kidding me? This guy's a Hall of Famer, phenomenal player, a Super Bowl champion." And you talk to him, and he's here every single year. You're like, "All right, let's get some new blood in here." So this year it was the combo platter of Haynes from the defense, Biletnikoff from the offensive side. I don't recall Fred Biletnikoff coming to Radio Row, Tony. Maybe he has.
He hadn't been here. This is my fourth year coming out here and doing this with you, and he hadn't been here for any of my first three.
No, I've done now about 10, or this might be the 11th in 12 years, I think, since the first one in Jacksonville was really the first Super Bowl I covered, Super Bowl 39. So this would be, I think, the next year was where, Ryan? Detroit? Was it Detroit after Super Bowl 40? No, it wasn't
Jackson?
Houston. I think it was Detroit.
Yeah. 10 years ago.
That was my first one. Yeah.
10 years
Detroit
ago.
Detroit was your first one?
Yeah.
Because that was
after the,
that was XL. That was Jerome Bettis.
So I did Jacksonville. I didn't go to Detroit, and I've been to everyone since that point in time. I do not recall Biletnikoff. It doesn't mean he hasn't been here. You miss out. We saw, what, Montana is coming in later this week with J.J. Watt. They're pushing pizza, I think,
Papa John's
is what they're doing. Papa will be here. It's so funny that people want to interview Papa John.
Yeah, did you see the...
if you sit down with Peyton, I'll talk to you.
Right.
Otherwise, nah, not so much.
The Broncos apparently on their charter flight to the San Francisco area all ate chicken parm because of Peyton's latest commercial campaign.
Is that right?
Yeah, they all had chicken parm. It tastes so good. So
it does taste so good. He knows what he's talking about, man. I mean, are you kidding me? Is he going to maybe... Wouldn't it be the best if The Denver Broncos are the champions of Super Bowl 50. Peyton Manning, MVP. What are you going to do now? I'm going to Papa John's. Hell with Disney, man. By the way,
I'm going to go check out that new Star Wars thing there at Disneyland.
Yeah, but I was going to say, but the in terms of advertising here, this is it has nothing to do with what we're talking about. They're big into the Google TV out in the San Francisco Bay Area, right? Everywhere you look, there's a huge billboard for Google TV out here. Are you down with the Google TV yet, O'Halloran?
No.
No idea what that is. That's something for the young kids, I think.
It's a streaming service for your television. It's basically a way to cut cable.
See, the young kids.
I have Slingbox, so I had that.
Oh, that's good. That's been around for a while.
Yeah. So that's a nice tool, too.
You could take your cable with you, basically, right? Yes. Is that the idea behind that?
Yeah.
All right.
But that was good.
I'm excited because somebody at FX sent me an email and said, hey, would you like to preview the first 6 episodes of that OJ show, which actually looks good to me.
Yeah.
I think they casted it very well, at least from, I think it debuts tomorrow night, if I'm not mistaken. So I've got that to look forward to if I ever get some downtime to watch the first 6 episodes of that. But the problem with that is I got to watch the first 6 episodes, and then you got to wait for 6 weeks to watch.
2 months to watch a new episode.
Yeah, but, if you're bored, you got an hour to kill. There's worse things you can do. Then I feel privileged, Tony, to be behind the door. I feel like a screener for the Academy Awards. They're giving me a chance to preview this early. All right, today's fan feedback spotlight asked, what is the best Super Bowl, in your opinion? Which is your favorite Super Bowl, or what was the most competitive? How you look at that, Ryan? And it doesn't have to be one you covered, but one that you've seen, obviously, throughout your lifetime. What Super Bowl stands out atop all others to you?
Well, it's going to be one that I did cover, and that was Steelers Cardinals in Tampa.
Phenomenal game.
Which was after the 2008 season.
You almost should put that in a separate category.
Yeah.
It was so good.
Yeah, I mean, you have the Harrison interception to end the first half. You have Fitzgerald's star turn in the fourth quarter. And then you have the Santonio Holmes catch at the end. So you had a lot of storylines that week with Warner. The Steelers going for their sixth championship.
Right.
Which they got. So that was that was a really good game. And then my run-up for one, this I've covered 7, is the Patriots almost perfection.
Yeah.
That was an incredible game, too.
I think those two probably top my list as well. Certainly the ones I've covered. Mm-hmm. Definitely Arizona-Pittsburgh, I think, is the best game, like you said. And the momentum in that game, Pittsburgh early, and then it was all Arizona, and they look like they're going to grab the game by the throat, and they're going in to punch it in. And then you had the Harrison play, and it's just at any point, just push him out of bounds. Push. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that was absolutely phenomenal. The perfect season attempt was a great game as well. I thought the first Patriots-Rams Super Bowl was phenomenal. We've got some, and we'll get to the feedback here, Tony. Some people suggesting the Greatest Show on Turf's Super Bowl championship against the Titans simply because the Titans lost the game. Right?
Yeah, a lot of people desperate to see the Titans lose that game. I know for me, I'm a Giants fan because Super Bowl 25 was the first Super Bowl I watched. And I watched it over and over and over because we had to record it. My dad was going out of town but wanted to be able to watch the Super Bowl when he got home. And the Giants beating the Bills 20-19, it's this whole long, convoluted story as to how I was pulling for the Giants in that game when I watched it. But that's really what sold me on being a Giants fan.
That was the first
fan.
One you watched, though?
That's the first Super Bowl I watched was Super Bowl 25. And I saw it I don't know how many times. I mean, you saw me last year when I had my opportunity for the first time to meet and talk to Otis Anderson. I was legitimately excited, to meet the MVP of that Super Bowl. So that's probably number one for me, and the Tyree catch, which when it happened I didn't even see because I was convinced Eli Manning was going to get sacked. And when he was getting tossed around in that pocket, I actually dropped my head, and the room around me went bananas. Just started screaming when Tyree made the catch. I looked up. I was like, what happened? And they showed the replay, and I was like, we're going to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Like, as soon as that play happened, it's like, there's no way they're losing this game after that play. So those are probably the top two for me.
Yeah, that was – I remember that being at that game and, we're there and staying at it. And I've gone to maybe 5 or 6 actual Super Bowl games. It's the only one I've ever covered – in terms of post-game locker room interviewing, that kind of stuff, because Coughlin had won the Super Bowl and knocked off, snapped the undefeated streak of the Patriots. And Boy, just I'll never forget. I've told this anecdote a million times on the radio, watching Junior Seau come off the field. I don't know if I've ever seen a professional athlete as devastated as he was in that moment, because he thought, look, he knew he had a Hall of Fame career. He was ring chasing like a lot of guys do. He thought, I've got it. We've got it. It's all wrapped up. We're going to not only go down as Super Bowl champs, but as the greatest team in NFL history, arguably, but that's the way they would have felt. And to see the look on his face coming out, he was the first guy in through the tunnel. And I've just never forgotten it. And obviously, you know, you know the rest of the story with Junior Seau. It makes it that much more bittersweet, I suppose you could look at it that way. All right, well, the week is off and running. I wouldn't say running. The week is off.
It's off.
And crawling.
it's limping.
All the lazy shows are now starting to show up for their, I guess, the mid-afternoon is when they start to cover the Super Bowl in other markets.
Those lazy middayers.
That's right. That's a general rule, by the way. Midday shows are lazy. Am I right about that?
Yeah. I'm not going to argue with you.
Dirt. Wait, say.
I was just trying to take it fun. That's just all in good fun. Those guys grind. Are you kidding me?
Hack,
XL Primetime?
Hack,
sure.
What? Did you,
kidding me?
Did you scout the Senior Bowl hack?
Are you kidding me? No, Spriggs was terrible. Put on roller skates. That's all I got for you today.
Late tape. That.
We did. And, I think Ballou lays tape. Hacker sometimes falls in his footsteps in laying tape. I think that's a Ballou original, though, with the laying of the tape. We got Media Day tonight, so we'll see what kind of storylines we can get into with that, what kind of trouble we can get into, and we'll see what kind of interviews. There are actually a few people making their way around. Honestly, if you're not a big-name person and you're trying to get your story out
early,
Monday and Tuesday are the days to come, particularly now with Media Day being on Monday night. Tuesday's going to be a lot more open for a lot of people. It's usually a ghost town around here while Media Day is going on Tuesday because everybody's working at the venue, so...
Especially with the digital things that people are doing now. I mean, everything gets put on a website somewhere. So even if you are doing interviews that 3 years ago no one would have ever heard, now they're at least getting posted somewhere for all of these shows because nobody's not posting stuff.
By the way, on demand, 1010XL.com, anything that we don't air, and there will be plenty that we don't air, I'm sure. Check it out on demand. Thanks to Wild West Guns and Gold, our Monday sponsor here, North Florida's largest dealer of firearms and accessories, everything from revolvers to sporting arms and everything in between. Wild West Guns and Gold will meet or beat any gun shop's price in the USA, guaranteed. You can even trade your gold for guns at Wild West Guns and Gold. Guns4Jax.com is the website. Guns, the number 4, JAX.com. Better yet, pop in, visit them at South Lane Avenue in Jacksonville, 693-0777, the number for Wild West Guns and Gold. Big thanks to St. John the Divine Greek Orthodox Church, again, the ones who make the trip out to California or wherever the Super Bowl is held possible for us every year, and travel and hotel accommodations provided in part by as well. Kevin Green, certified public accountant, my own personal tax man, and the guy I trust when it comes to tax season, as unpleasant as that season may be. He makes it that much better for us. So, that'll do it for us today. Thanks to Father Nicholas Lowe from St. John the Divine. Thanks to Taylor Zarzer from SiriusXM College Sports Nation for joining us to look back on the Senior Bowl. Tomorrow will be all about the Broncos and the Panthers, and that's what you'll get right here. So for Ryan O'Halloran of the TU, what do you have coming up today and the next couple days?
In tomorrow's paper, we're going to talk about how both these defenses use high draft picks to get to build their groups. And then I'll have a survey. Running diary of media night. That'll be tomorrow. And then Tuesday for Wednesday, I'm going to get the quarterbacks out of the way early in the week. Biggest age difference for two starting quarterbacks in Super Bowl history. Coronation for one, exit for another potentially.
There you go. Ryan O'Halloran, Florida Times Union, at Ryan O'Halloran on Twitter. Of course, Ryan, good to see you, buddy.
All right.
We'll probably catch up with you at some point later on in the week. For Tyler Devitt, for Fat Tony, I'm Mike Dempsey, wrapping things up from San Francisco. We'll say hello to the boys of XL Primetime. Coming up next, capping day one in San Fran, coverage of Super Bowl 50 on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now, Duval, give me two claps and a Rick Flip.
That's great job.